Another weekend in the books, another heat advisory for the Portland metro area. Census figures estimate that 78% of Portland metro residents have air conditioning, but that means 22% don't, and those people are still suffering. I'm Andrew Thien, and this is Beat Check with the Oregonian. Up next, breaking news reporter Austin De Dios, who covers public safety issues and diversity, equity, and inclusion for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. We talked about his recent reporting trip to a mobile home park, why people are still thinking about last year's deadly heat dome, which killed nearly 100 people across the state, how things have improved a bit this year in terms of government outreach, but why there's still so much work to be done. Here's our conversation. Austin De Dios, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
So Austin, we in the Portland area experienced another extended heat wave this year. By the time people are listening to this, it'll be another series of very hot days, but not on the same level of last summer in the deadly heat dome. You and a photographer recently took some trips out to various spots in the Portland area. Can you talk about where you went and kind of why and what you saw?
Yeah. So we went to two different locations that day. We first went to a neighborhood in the Lentz community and went to a multifamily building there. And our goal really going out to these places was to find communities that were going to be most affected by the heat with vulnerable populations. So people who don't have access to AC, people who are in heat islands that are absorbing a lot of heat from buildings and roads, etc. So we first went out to a multifamily building out in the Lentz neighborhood, and we didn't get anybody on the record, but we were talking to just a few people who were hanging out outside. And I believe that day it was about, the high was supposed to be 97 degrees when we went out there, just talking to a few people to see if they were doing okay. And that building, they seemed all right, but you know, people visibly looked exhausted from the day before, where temperatures were over 95 and they didn't cool off too much in the night. So you could kind of see that people were, you know, they were tired. And that was only, I want to say, the second day of the heat wave at this point. So that prolonged heat over 95 was obviously going to have a big effect. And so from there, we did go to Mobile Estate, which is an elderly retirement community. And of course, they all live in mobile or manufactured homes. And those homes, especially mobile homes, can really be, they can get really hot, right? Because they're aluminum boxes in a lot of cases.
Right.
And with the heat bearing down on them, it's kind of a dangerous space to be in. Yeah, we went out there and a lot of people were just sitting outside. Luckily, at that point that we were out there that morning, it wasn't egregiously hot yet. I want to say it was about in the 80s, probably about 85 mm-hmm. by the time we actually arrived. So people could still be outside in the shade. But yeah, one of the houses that we first saw that was just right in the front of the lot was the Weber's home. And Merlin Weber was sitting outside and he has really bad psoriasis in his hands. And when you saw him out there peeling his hands with like a pair of pliers, but also he had a broken fan at his feet. He was trying to fix it. We approached him just asking if he was okay to talk with us. And at first, you know, he was a little hesitant, but I think everyone's just a little on edge with the heat and seemed like he was in a good deal of pain, right? But he was happy to talk with us. He was trying to fix a fan, but because of his condition and the fact they didn't have tools, he couldn't really get it put together, which is a shame. As we talked more, we realized his wife and his daughter were both very vulnerable to the heat. His wife, I believe her name was Judy, she had a heat stroke in 1996 and has been really sensitive to the heat ever since. Mm. And they don't have an air conditioning in their home. So he was telling us that, you know, he's really worried about them, but also it's very difficult for him to drive. And so he couldn't really take them to a cooling shelter. And so it was just kind of a really difficult situation for him and the family. And luckily, people in the neighborhood had donated fans to him. And so they had a few fans in there. But I want to say the night before, they had told me it was about 90 degrees in there while they were trying to sleep, which I have experienced, and that's pretty unbearable. It was just, yeah, it was difficult to see. All in all, they seemed in as good spirits as they could be. But I did see them eventually hop in a car. I don't know if they went anywhere, yeah. But I think they might have taken some refuge with AC in the vehicle.
Mobile Estates obviously is just one of many manufactured home parks or mobile home parks around Oregon. Can you remind people, you know, last year during the deadly heat dome, you kind of alluded to the dangers of living in these facilities during a heat wave. How deadly was it last year for people living in mobile home parks?
I can't remember exactly the statistics, but amongst the elderly community, people over 60, I want to say it was close to 80% of the deaths were amongst people over 60. So people in these communities, and of course, people also living alone. And that was another aspect of these parks is that people were living on their own in there. There was a specific push by the county to reach out to these communities specifically. I want to say about 10,000 messages were sent to both owners of the parks and the residents themselves. And just as a reminder, hey, you know, we have the cooling shelters. Take care of yourself. Stay hydrated. All these little reminders that we think, you know, should be obvious. But in times like this, when it's so hot, sometimes you're not thinking straight. So it's important to get those out there.
Well, I have the story that you filed along with photos from our colleague Beth Nakamura up on my screen. And it was nearly 1 in 5 of the 100 people who died in Oregon during the heat dome lived in mobile parks. Mobile Estates, where is it? Can you locate us in Portland? Where specifically is that?
Yes. It's in Southeast Portland, as I recall.
Okay. Yeah. Was that also an area that there's not a lot of shade?
Yes. So that park specifically at least had a lot of trees out there, which helped. But the rest of the area surrounding it was buildings, roads, and not a lot of shade. So the communities around there too were at risk. And I'd say too, I believe they said they were going to cut down the trees in that area, which was going to be kind of problematic for the future for what little shade that they provided to kind of keep people out of that morning heat and give them a chance to cool off. So,
yeah. According to your reporting, no one died in the heat dome at the Mobile Estates Park that you visited. So, as you saw, it was still plenty hot when it was in the mid-90s.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier the desire to go out and see some of these urban heat islands. Remind us what exactly that means and like what did you see when you're out in the Lentz area?
A heat island is any kind of urban area that's mostly concrete and buildings. And as the sun beats down, all of those buildings and concrete will absorb the heat, making it a lot hotter than in other areas, say with a lot of parks, trees, wildlife, things like that. And so these areas just get very, very hot when the sun's at full force, right? And these communities tend to be lower income communities. Mm-hmm. And often filled with people of color, elderly communities, and again, lower income.
Yeah. So, for example, when it was 116 degrees in the heat dome of 2021 in the Portland area, very well may have been significantly hotter in Lentz at the apartment complex that you visited.
Exactly. Yeah. And some context to that, I believe researcher went out last year to actually test that and found that the hottest temperatures during that summer and during that heat wave were in the Lentz neighborhood, reaching in some areas, at least on the concrete above that 116.
You mentioned earlier kind of the efforts that the Multnomah County had done to try to assist people with cooling units. Can you give us any sort of update in terms of what they have done, what local governments have done to get people cooling units? Because, you know, obviously this was a national and international story that so many people had died in both in Oregon and Washington and in British Columbia last year during the heat dome. I mean, how have we done in terms of helping people get some level of relief?
I'd say that one of the first things that the county made a really big push on was reaching out to the property owners of these multifamily buildings, apartment buildings, et cetera, to make sure that one, they're aware that the heat is coming, and and two, make sure that they have proper resources and communication with residents to let them know locations of cooling shelters when the time came. I believe the county reached out to 292 different multifamily buildings to try and get in contact with them and have a discussion about how they could come together to kind of battle this heat. And so those messages continued during the heat wave. They sent hundreds of thousands of messages to both residents and property owners in places like mobile estates and in multifamily buildings as well, just to let them know, you know, that he was coming and here are the resources that we have. And in terms of those resources, they opened several overnight cooling shelters. I believe it was four in total, housing upwards of 300 people. And there were misting shelters and just other local community buildings, libraries, et cetera, that seemed to be open. And I definitely felt this year compared to last year that there was a lot more communication about where these shelters were and how you can get to them. For example, TriMet giving free rides. I didn't hear about that last year. Maybe it was happening, but I feel the communication was a lot stronger this year from the county. And also you could call the 211 hotline, which I believe was set up last year for these events. And they would also be able to get you a free ride there. So I think that was an important component, as some people couldn't get there. For example, the Webbers, if they needed it, they had TriMet availability or the 211 hotline to get to a cooling shelter if necessary.
One of the things that struck me from your reporting visiting the Webbers was it's not a new thing, although there's been this really big push, obviously, in the wake of, 100 people dying, nearly 100 people dying across Oregon. But Multnomah County had a weatherization program that actually installed a heat pump, a cooling unit that is an air conditioning type unit for the Webbers back in 2012, a decade ago. But what happened with that?
What Merlin Webber told me, they installed it in 2012. It later broke in 2016. And he could apply to have it fixed and or replaced. He said he had talked to the county and over the phone, but he needs to fill out. There's a specific application you need to fill out through weatherization services once you've qualified to have the heat pump installed in the first place and to have it repaired later. I talked to the county about that, and they said anyone who needs that service and finds the application difficult can call and be walked through the application process. But that application was a big barrier for him. And I think that's something we see common to government services, is sometimes people in these communities find the application process difficult, complicated, or not worth their time. And so we get these situations where people don't end up doing it.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come and talk a little bit more with Austin De Dios. He's a public safety reporter for the Oregonian and Oregon Live and is focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Okay, Austin. So I kind of mentioned there before the break that you're covering equity, diversity, inclusion for us. How did this story fit into that broader beat in terms of how you approached it and then why editors thought it was an important story to tell?
Absolutely. I'd say, and I kind of mentioned this before, a lot of communities affected by the heat are lower income communities, and often that's disproportionately people of color, and in this case also elderly people who are more vulnerable to the heat, but also, in that financial predicament as well. The point of going out here was in one way, just to check on the community, even if there wasn't a story here, just making sure that people are okay and staying cool. We got a lot of thank yous from residents, just saying thank you for coming out here and checking on us, and really appreciative of that as a service, because I guess people just felt like it's important to check on one another. So that kind of said a lot about that community too, to me. That angle of let's make sure people without AC who can't afford air conditioning units, who are in these heat islands, which are often, lower rent, lower prices out there. Let's make sure that they are staying cool, staying safe, and staying healthy. And of course, that is where the diversity and inclusion angle is. Let's make sure all these people's voices are heard. And it's not just people with air conditioning complaining about going outside, right?
Exactly.
And these are definitely people on the front lines who are in the most danger. Telling their story and putting it out there also allows people to visibly see. I got a lot of requests from people with leftover air conditioners to my email inbox saying, hey, I have this air conditioning. Is there a place I could donate it to? Where can I send this to help people? So, you know, getting these stories out for these people who are more vulnerable can often bring the community to help them as well.
I'm curious, what other stories are you kind of interested in pursuing on this? Because as I mentioned, you know, we're talking on a Friday, but there's expected to be triple digit temperatures again on Sunday. And it seems, you know, we're not even halfway through summer yet. So this isn't, you know, the heat dome happened at the end of June. It was so anomalous in so many ways. But you know, we still have a long ways to go here. What are you interested in learning or reporting about?
One of the things that I've seen talked about on multiple occasions while I was at Mobile Estates and just outside of Mobile Estates and being in downtown, the county is supposed to be working with nonprofit providers to get free air conditioning units to people in the city as part of a movement that they started last year with the heat dome and everything. And I'm not so sure how that disbursement is going. I know there are supply chain issues and probably an overabundance of people requesting the free air conditioning units. But I'd be curious to see, you know, who's requesting these units? Where are they going to? How well are they being shipped out? I want to say the county's ordered about 3,000 air conditioning units. I can't say how many exactly they've actually been able to ship out, but I had heard from people from Mobile Estates that it's a slow process. So I'd be curious to see where that's going and if those air conditioning units are getting to those more vulnerable communities in the way that they should be. And also, you know, just a wider view of weatherization services, because I mean, they've been around since 1984, but their job now seems a lot more difficult and a lot more important with recurring heat waves that seem to be coming as climate change kind of changes the game for us in adjusting to these hot summers. So just seeing how they approach helping these vulnerable communities and what resources they might have to offer as time goes on.
Your headline on your piece, I think, kind of from the Mobile Estates kind of spoke to, I think, what a lot of people felt, just that this sparked absolutely miserable memories, right? I mean, was that kind of, can you just elaborate a little bit on that, like in terms of your discussions out there?
Absolutely. Yeah, residents, I mean, that heat wave is still fresh on their mind. And back then, they were a lot less prepared than they were now, because luckily, a lot of people I talked to had installed bedroom air conditioners, standing air conditioners, so they can at least, you know, have relief and sleep at night. And when that first heat wave came, that heat dome, people weren't as prepared. And so you could see faces change when you mentioned it. And you could tell people were really going back to that time and just being so hot and miserable, and not having as clear communication as where cooling shelters are, and not as clear communication on how to get the free rides and everything. It made it a lot more difficult to be able to combat the heat. So not only was it hotter during that time, but you also had less resources to get yourself away and take a break from that. So it was definitely, it was very visible. And luckily it seemed people, again, were more prepared this time around overall than they were before.
That being said, you know, I grew up in Oregon from the time I was five, right? And in Southern Oregon, where it's super hot. And now here we are 2 years in a row where we're writing about hyperthermia, which is just not something I was prepared to see covered on a regular basis, but that might be our reality going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that kind of stuck with me from a press conference recently that the county held as temperatures were about to reach their peak and become the most dangerous phase into the over 100 range. Mayor Ted Wheeler had said that it's only July. We still have all of August to get through. And we're seeing September stay in those higher temperatures as well. So it's very almost unpredictable how long the summer might last and when we might have another heat wave again. And so that's one component I think people need to be prepared for is, you know, this is a new reality that we have to live with, is that the summers are hotter and the summers are longer.
Is there anything else from your reporting on this issue that I should have asked you that you'd want to hit on?
I think that was pretty comprehensive. Yeah, I think that covered everything.
You know, obviously this is a tough topic, but we're excited to have you on staff at the Oregonian, and people see your byline, and obviously people are already finding you and reaching out to you. So keep up the good work, and thanks for taking time to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Beat Check with the Oregonian. I shared links to some of Austin's work and our coverage of last year's Heat Dome in the episode notes. If you like this show, give us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show. And tell a friend, help spread the word. The best way to support our journalism is through a subscription to Oregon Live. You can do that at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Until next time.